Okay, morning everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, 138. We start today the 20th Perek of Shabbos. I think it's fair now to say we're in the home stretch of Masechta Shabbos. Now, I say home stretch, I mean there are five more Prakim to do, including the 20th Perek, and there is another close, just under 20 Blad of Gemara. But considering the fact that this Masechta is 156, 157 Blad of Gemara, so it's been some time now that we've been in Shabbos, but now we are seeing the end. You can see the finish line. March the 9th is the conclusion of Masechta Shabbos. We finish Shabbos on Shabbos. Okay, sorry, Shal Shabbos. That's a radical suggestion. So the
I understood.
On the 20th parak of Shabbos, so as we begin the Mishnah, so we're going to be discussing today two topics, the topic of Bara and the topic of Ol Arai. Ol Arai, I find to be, personally, one of the more difficult topics in Shas, especially in Hilcha Shabbos, because you got to really see what these things are. A lot of items that we're going to be trying to describe today. I'll give some attempt in terms of a description and explanation of what they are, but I'm extraordinarily limited. I'm working with my mind, and I'm going to try to share with you what I see, how I see it. So it's going to be somewhat of a struggle. The basic concepts are pretty straightforward, or relatively straightforward. It's just a question of application. But that's going to be our big topics for today as we start now the 20th parak of Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer told us the Mishmeres B'Yom Tov, V'Noslin L'Tuluyah B'Shabbos. Okay, we're now talking about straining the wine. Now, straining the wine, right away, you should jump out at you. Not a lot of strain on Shabbos. Straining on Shabbos, 139 melachos on Shabbos. It's called merakade, right? When you put something through a sift and you sift it. So, okay, that's going to be an issue. But nevertheless, however, we're talking about straining the wine on Shabbos. Now, before we're straining the wine on Shabbos, you need to put the strainer on the top of the barrel. So, they have this small barrel, and you put a strainer, a cloth strainer, directly over the top of the barrel. So, Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay. Go ahead. Tolan and Mishmeres B'Yom Tov. You can put it on Yom Tov. V'Noslan L'Tuluyah B'Shabbos. And now on Shabbos, I can't put it on Shabbos. What's the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos? We'll try to clarify that point later on this morning. But I can't put it on Shabbos. But what I can do, however, is I can actually strain on Shabbos. I could pour the wine through the strainer on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer really tells us two leniencies. Number one, that on Yom Tov, I can actually put the strainer on top of the barrel, even though I'm basically putting a roof over the barrel. Now we're talking, the word roof over here is not really the conventional word. I mean, I wouldn't call it actually a roof, but in terms of design, it really is a roof, meaning I have the barrel, which are the walls, and I'm putting something over the top of the barrel. So for our purposes, we're going to call it a roof. So Rabbi Eliezer says that on Yom Tov, I could put the roof on the very top of the barrel, and obviously then strain the wine through the cloth through the cloth sift. And on Shabbos, I can't put it on, but I could pour through the strainer on Shabbos. V'chachamim omrim, ein tolan semashmars b'yom tov, ein nosan l'tuliyah b'Shabbos. And the chachamim say no and no. Okay, the chachamim argue on both points. I can't put it on Yom Tov, and I can't strain on Shabbos. But what I can do is that I can strain on Yom Tov. Okay, so there's one leniency that the Chachamim do allow, and that's the act of straining on Yom Tov itself, but I can't strain on Shabbos, and I cannot put it on the top on Yom Tov. Take a look at the Rashi. There's only one Rashi in the Mishnah. Tolos Mishmer Shemesan and Basharma Yayin or Mosach Pil Chotzad Be'Eagle. So Rashi here is basically describing that we're going to be filtering the sediment, the wine sediment. So basically, the wine will go through, but not the actual dregs themselves. And what you're doing is you're basically spreading it over the top, around the cylindrical top of the barrel. V'nasika o'a achalal hakli. And it becomes like an o'el. V'afagav de'avid o'el. Now, Rashi over here deals with the basic issue. You're making an o'el. On Yom Tov. And on Shabbos, well, Shabbos, no, Shabbos, you're not allowed to. But you're making an oil on Yom Tov, Sharvi Yom Tov Kidna Mefarsh Begemara. The Gemara is going to explain that question in terms of how Rabbi Eliezer can allow you to make an oil. Aval B'Shabbos, Now on Shabbos you're not allowed to do it lechatchila, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Aval im tuliyin nosin lasocha shamim umisanin de'ein derech borer bekach. So Rashi says in explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, that's not borer. Now why is that not borer? So that's something that we need to explain and explore, and so somehow get a better handle of why that should not be in violation of borer. So the Gemara starts off the discussion with a very simple discussion, which is the following: Hashta Rabbi Eliezer, Usufi Oval Arai Lomosvinan, Lemeav Lechatchila Share. Now let's try to put Rabbi Eliezer together. Let's try to take a whole picture of Rabbi Eliezer. It's going to be difficult because we learned earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow you to add to an Ohel, meaning you already have an existing Ohel, and all you'd like to do is add to an Ohel, and Rabbi Eliezer says you can't do that. So now let's try to wrap our heads around this. If I can't add to an Ohel, according to Rabbi Eliezer, how can I make an Ohel on Yontif? Okay, that's the Gemara's question. It's an extraordinarily good question. First of all, the Gemara says, Mahi, where do we see this? Did not, Kach HaChalon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Zman, Shekash HaVataloi, Pokim Bo. V'im La'vein, Pokim Gam Bo. V'chacham HaMomri, Mein Kach HaVein, Kach Pokim Bo. Not that long ago, in Daf Kuf Chavei, we went through this Mishnah together, where we're talking about putting up a shutter. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I can only put the shutter over the window, over the hole in the house, only if it's already been hanging, tied and hanging. Kashur v'talui. But if it's not tied and hanging, I cannot put it over the wall because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm being mosif. I'm adding to the OL. So, the question is, if Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even allow me to add to an OL, so how can he even allow me to make an OL on Yontif? Okay, Amar Rabba Babachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakomod Nishenos, and all Arai, Bitzchila B'Yomta, Bein Tzorach Lomar B'Shabbos. So the Gemara answers like this. First of all, let's start off with where everyone's in agreement. Everyone's in agreement that I cannot make an OL Arai on Yontif, and it goes without saying, neither on Shabbos as well. Okay, so our starting point for the whole discussion. You cannot make an OL Arai. Good. Done. Lo nechlugu ella lo hosif. The only debate over here is whether or not you're allowed to add. Shar belazer armei ein mosif mi yomtov ein tzorach lomar b'shabbos v'chacham em armei mosif mi b'shabbos ein tzorach lomar b'yomtov. The only issue over here is can I add to an ol arai, and that is subject to a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says I cannot add to a ol arai, and the chachamim say you are allowed to add to an ol arai, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. That's the halacha, that you are in fact allowed to add to an ol arai. But right now, we're not discussing the halacha, we're discussing the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have it straight. You can't make an ol arai on Shabbos, neither on Yontif. Adding to an ol arai, subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, Rabbi Lazar says you cannot. So Rabbi Lazar, Savala, so good. So now that we're here, we're still stuck. Meaning, so why would a Rabbi Eliezer allow you to put the cloth sieve on the top of the barrel, which ostensibly is making an ol arai on Shabbos? And as we've just established, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't even add to an ol arai. So how would he allow it over here? So now the Gemara answers, Savalak, Rabbi Lazar, Savalak, Rabbi Yehuda. So in vis-a-vis Yontif, because remember, the head of Rabbi Eliezer is only for Yontif, it's not for Shabbos. So he follows like the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Ditanya will learn to the Mishnah Megillah, Ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos, Ela Ochav Nefesh Belvan. The Tanakhama says that the only difference between Yontif and Shabbos is only the permission to cook and to prepare food on Yontif. But there is no other difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Now, move right past the Tanakhama, and the next opinion in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Matir Af Machshiri Ochav Nefesh, where Rabbi Yehuda allows you to do on Yontif Machshiri Ochav Nefesh. Not just those activities which are direct food preparation, but activities which would lead to activities which would prepare the food, otherwise known as Machshiri Ochav Nefesh. And what the Gemara says is that Rabbi Eliezer is in alignment with Rabbi Yehuda, which now means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, so this hanging of the sieve on Yontif, of course, from a regular Yontif standpoint, of course, is not allowed. You're not allowed to make an ol, you're not allowed to add to an ol. That's all given. What is now subject for discussion is, what if it has to do with food preparation? Oh, okay. In other words, once it has to do with food preparation, so then it would be permissible. Af machshiri ochal nefesh. Now, emet deshamin lo the Rabbi Yehuda ben machshir shi'ef shalasos merav yamtov ben machshir shi'ef shalasos merav yamtov mishamis lei. So the Gemara just wants to know, okay, but if I could have done it before Yontif, isn't the halacha that I'm supposed to do before Yantav? And the Gemara's answer is, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Good. But we're discussing Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer adifa me the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer goes one step further than Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to do machshirei, but only if it could not have been done before Shabbos. What Rabbi Eliezer allows you to do is machshirei, even if it could have been done before Shabbos. I misspoke. We're talking about Yontif. Rabbi Eliezer allows you to do machshirin, even if you could have done it before Yontif. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, good. Now we have a pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to make a top, a sieve, a cloth sieve over the barrel. Isn't that a CS Ohel? Doesn't Rabbi Eliezer prohibit it? And the answer is yes, he does. But it's Yontif, and it's food preparation, and therefore that's why Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay. Now, it's not direct food preparation, but that's not a problem. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, Machshirei Ochel Nefesh is okay. You could have done it before Yontif. Again, that's not a problem, because Rabbi Eliezer goes even one step further than Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, even if you could have done it before Yontif, you're still allowed to do it on Yontif itself. And now that we're here, now I can answer a question which I didn't ask, which is, why are we learning all this now? How is this discussion now relevant to, we understand how it's relevant to Shabbos and Yontif, but why now, why the 20th Perek? And the answer is very simple, because it follows immediately after the 19th Perek of Shabbos. What was the topic of discussion, 19th Perek of Shabbos? Machshirei Mila, doing the preparatory acts for the Mila. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're allowed to do preparatory acts for the Mila. Now, we don't follow like Rabbi Eliezer, but that's how the 19th Perek opened up. Now, we understand. Our perek over here, it's the same basic discussion. That since, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to do machshirei, and we're not talking about machshirei mila, but still, we're talking about machshirei ochel nefesh, so that's what allows Rabbi Eliezer to, for lechatchila, even if you're not adding, even if you're constructing it now for the very first time, to put the cloth sieve over the barrel, even though you're manufacturing an ohel, that's fine, and sifting it, see, actually straining it would be fine, and it falls under the category of machshirei ochel nefesh, which Rabbi Eliezer allows. Adkan, period. V'chachamim omrim, now the chachamim say you cannot. They disagree. So the chachamim say, ain tolin se mishmeret b'yomtev, and the Gemara opens up the discussion with a very simple question. We're on the last two lines of Kuflam and Zayinam at Beis. Ibayilahu tala mai. And what if you did? Okay, now in other words, right, the Mishnah says, you don't, you can't. And now the Gemara's question is really simple. And if you did, what? What's the consequence? I'm Rav Yosef, tala chayev chatos. So Rav Yosef says, well, if I put the strainer over the top of the barrel, that is a malacha d'araisa. You're chayev akamer chatos. I'm Rav Yosef, tala me'ata. Tala kuza besichta, hachinam d'mechayev? I can't be. Meaning, what's the malacha over here? We're talking about bona? You're only going to be chayev on Shabbos for binyan if it's a permanent structure. We're talking about a cloth sieve over a barrel. These aren't permanent structures. These are temporary structures over here. You put a jug over a peg.
But as most you're building it clean, huh?
You're building, right. And it's all right, it's temporary. So, talakuza besichta, hachanami de mechayev, you're not going to be chayev. These are utensils over here. You're not talking about binyan kavua. So it cannot be that it's an Issa Daraisa. Elam Rabaye. So Abaye flatly rejects Rav Yosef, and Abaye says that it's an Issa Darabanan. Shelo yaseh kederech shu oseh b'chol, so as that you do not do it as you do it during the week. Right? A terminology that you're going to hear in Hilchos Shabbos is very often called Uvda d'chol. It's a weekday activity. Weekday activity, what exactly does that mean? If you take a look at the top Rashi in the Amud, Ela Amar Abaye Midrabanan Ka'asu Lechacham Demasnisen Deloshav Kinalei Lemit Lei Lemeaved Uvda Dechol. Rashi just uses that terminology again of Uvda Dechol. It's a weekday activity, right? Now, so on the simplest level, it just simply means that this is the kind of activity that you do during the week and not during Shabbos. Okay, that's the simplest idea. Over here, it could mean a little bit more than that. Not that it's just Uvda Dechol. It's not Shabbos dick, right? Which you'll hear that term being used. It's not a very legal term, but in other words, but it's certainly conveying an idea. But over here, though, however, probably means more than just simply not Shabbos dick. Because over here, you are doing, you are doing something, you are constructing. Now, it's not an Issa Daraisa because it's not permanent, but still, you are doing some sort of construction, albeit temporary. So the Gemara says it's an Issa Darabanan to do so. Mankir Abai Chomer Masnisa Vitani. What Abai did is he gathered together, right? He was, Rashi says, he's a malakate. Abai gathered together various halachas, and he organized the halachas. These types of products. Now, I told you from the very beginning of this parak. I told you the beginning of this morning. Part of the challenges over here is I do not know exactly what these things are. Now, Rashi spends time trying to describe them, and I strongly encourage, please read Rashi, because it tries to help us understand. Pictures over here would be very helpful. I don't have pictures for today. Apologies. But anyway, a good, a mishmeres, a kila, the kisa. The kila, you'll hear that word a lot today. A kila is a canopy for a bed. Okay? That's an ohel. Granted, not a permanent ohel, and it's an ohel arai. Kise galen, a type of chair, comes from the place called galen, says Rashi. So again, all these are temporary structures. Lo yasav yimasa patar valasar. So all these types of temporary structures you cannot make on Shabbos, and if you do so, you're violating an Issa Durabanan. Oale keva, if it's a more permanent structure, lo yasav yimasa chayev chatas. Now there, if you do it, you're going to be chayev chatas. We don't have precise definitions of what an oale keva would be. How long does it have to last in order for me to consider an oale keva? We don't really know. But a bed. In other words, you need to make a bed. Okay, it's the bed right now is in pieces or standing up. You're lying the bed down. Now you realize when you put the bed down, you're actually making a canopy because the bed's not on the ground.
The Murphy bed, right?
The Murphy bed against the wall. The bed is actually hanging up in the air. You could actually go underneath the bed. So the Mishnah says, Abaye says that you're allowed to do. Kisei, right, the folding chairs. Right? And when you lay out a folding chair, I know we don't think in these terms, but you are kind of, you're building in, you are making a horizontal plane, and you can, like, put yourself underneath the chair, but that's also fine. And Asla, Rashi explains, a Traskel, Kisei Traskel, and an Asla, Rashi says, basically a makeshift toilet seat. Okay? So these things you're allowed to make on Shabbos, lichatchila. In other words, not even an Issa d'Rabbanan. So, it's a funny question, but I'll ask it. Why are you allowed to make it? Meaning, it's an Ohel Arai, isn't it? Meaning you are making a temporary structure. So, like much like the previous, the good, the mishmeres, the kila. So these are temporary structures which you're not allowed to make. And meanwhile, Abai gives us a list of temporary structures that you are allowed to make. So why should that be? If you take a look at Rashi Avalmita, Rashi writes the following. Avalmita shalanu mechuberes v'almenes im haisa zekufa omuta al tzideha. The bed right now is vertical. Mutal and tosa liyashva al raglayim. So Rashi describes that now I can flatten the bed and make it horizontal. The Alpha Gavdash David Ohel. And even though you are making an Ohel, Rashi goes on to write, Share de lo midi Avin Ela Liyasuva Ba'alma. So Rashi says, because I'm not really making, all I'm doing is repositioning. It was something which was vertical, and all I did is take and moved it 90 degrees from a vertical to a horizontal. So Rashi says, that's not even an Ohel Arai. Ohel Arai is when I'm spreading something out. It wasn't there. I spread it out. That's Ohel Arai. But if all I'm doing is just simply shifting, changing an angle, so Rashi says, that's not even an Ohel Arai. That's how Rashi understands the distinction between these cases. We're on in the Gemara. We're on Kufla Mechesa Maralf, the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. Now we're up to the second issue of the mission, that is straining. Now Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to strain on Yontif. And you're allowed to strain on Shabbos as well. Okay, sorry. And the Chachamim say you're not allowed to strain. And the question becomes the following question. According to the Chachamim, and what if you do? So Tala Mai, sorry, Shimer Mai. Sorry, I was back one question. Shimer Mai, Amar Rav Kahana, Shimer Chayev Chatas. So Rav Kahana says, if you do so, you're Chayev Karpen Chatas. It is a Malacha Daraisa. Now over here, makes perfect sense. You're straining. You're straining wine on Shabbos. You don't want the sediments to go down, so you put the strainer. The strainer is going to catch the sediments. Only the wine is going to go through the strainer. That's a Malacha Daraisa. Here's the problem. You understand the Chachamim, it makes perfect sense. So you have now in our Mishnah two very different opinions. And if you go back to our Mishnah, you'll find that Rabbi Eliezer says, are you allowed to strain on Shabbos? Yeah, no problem. And then the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to. And now we're qualifying. What does that mean, you're not allowed to? It's an Issa Daraisa. So here you have two Tanaim looking at the same activity. And one says, oh, this mutter, it's totally mutter. And the other says, it's an Issa Daraisa. Even in the world of Machlokas, it never gets that stratified, where I have one position saying it's an Issa Daraisa, and the other one saying, no, it's mutter legamre. And the Gemara is bothered by this very question. Really? Look, we all understand Machlokas. But for Machlokas to be mina katzah la katzah, from one extreme to the other extreme, it's hard to imagine. So Maskel Rav Yosef Alam Allah, Rav Yosef says, really? It's unprecedented? Hare Irshal Zahav. Remember we talked earlier in the Masechta, right? Fifth parak of Shabbos. Fifth or sixth? Okay. Around that area, where we talked about the tiara worn by the woman on Shabbos, the Irshal Zahav. Remember Rabbi Kiva got one for his wife? So the sixth parak of Shabbos. So the woman, is she allowed to go out with it on Shabbos? So, Ir Shel Zahav, Vimyatzah Chayev Chatas Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir's of the opinion that if she goes out, is she Chayev Karban Chatas. Rav Meir's of the opinion, it's not jewelry. I don't know what it is. It's whatever. It's an ornament, right? You hang it on the front of your car, but it's not jewelry. And therefore, it's carrying. It's an act of carrying. Now the Chachamim say she cannot go out with it on Shabbos, and if she does so, she'll be pater. Meaning, Tanisa de Rabbanan, and Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yotze Isha Beir Shozav Lechatchila, and Rabbi Eliezer says, Lechatchila she can go out. So, put side by side, in other words, leave the Chachamim out for just a moment, put side by side Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Tanisa de Raisa, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter legamre. So here we have a scenario where you have two Tanaim looking at the same act. One says it's an Issa Daraisa, and one says it's mutter legamre. Amale Abaye, Abaye says that's not fair. What you just did is not fair. Misav is Rabbi Lazar Adra Meir Kaya Damre Chayev Chatas Adra Banan Kaya Damre Patav Al Aser Vamar Lahuya mutter lechatchila. Because what I did to make this argument was, I put Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Meir. But that's not what you're supposed to do. Meaning, it's Rabbi Eliezer wasn't a combatant of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer was arguing with the Chachamim. Chachamim said, it's an Issa d'Rabbanan. And then Rabbi Eliezer turns to Chachamim and says, look, I disagree with you. Meaning, I'm not with Rabbi Meir. I don't know from Rabbi Meir. I'm talking to you. To you who says that you agree with me. It's not an Issa Daraisa. It is jewelry, and for whatever reason, you think that the rabbis deemed it to be also to carry it on Shabbos. Perhaps for the reason that it's a beautiful piece of jewelry, a woman's going to take it off, show it to her friend, okay, like we described back in the sixth parak of Shabbos. So in other words, you think it's an Issa Darabanan. I disagree. I don't think it's an Issa Darabanan. Such a machlokas that we could tolerate, that we could hear. Because it's now going from Issa d'Rabbanan to mutter legamre. But he's not arguing with Rav Meir. So what the Gemara is saying is that it's still hard to imagine that one person would say Issa d'Raisa and the other one would say mutter legamre. Okay. So the question is, what if I strain on Shabbos? The answer provided by Rav Kahana is that it's an Issa d'Raisa. The Gemara challenged Rav Kahana, and oddly enough, and the challenge went unanswered, and oddly enough, the Gemara now is going to support Rav Kahana. That if you strain on Shabbos, it's an Issa Daraisa. Now, but as I pointed out just a couple minutes ago, like, you hear it. meaning you're straining on Shabbos. So you certainly hear the argument that's an Issa Daraisa. What about the fact that Rabbi Eliezer says it's Mutar Legamrei, and how can I have two such extreme viewpoints? So the Gemara asked that question, and the Gemara didn't provide an answer. But, however you want to describe it, I mean, Rashi back in the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Derech Bor Bekach. Now, I don't exactly know what that means, meaning why Rabbi Eliezer says this is not the ways of Borer. And by Rashi saying Borer, also Rashi is not talking about straining Merakid. Okay, I don't know how to defend Rabbi Eliezer, and he needs to be defended. But in the meantime, however, we're going to assume, like the Chachamim, that straining on Shabbos is a prohibited activity, and furthermore, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. And now the Gemara wants to know, okay, now that we've established that's an Issa D'Oraisa, Mishumai Masrinan Bey. So now the next question of the Gemara is, how do you warn? Okay, in other words, we know that if you see somebody violating Shabbos and you want to bring this to its final end, it's a capital crime, so you know that you have to go over the person, you have to give them a warning. Okay? And you have to be specific about your warning. Meaning, to be an aide, you have to be a bit of a Talmud Chacham. You got to know the basic halachas. And so you see somebody straining on Shabbos, and you have to know, you're not allowed to do that, today's Shabbos, and it's violating the malacha, and you actually have to be specific about what malacha he's violating. So the Gemara now wants to know, so what do you say to him? Mishamai masrinan bay. So Rabba amar misham borer, Rabbi Zera amar misham merakeid. So the Gemara over here presents a machlokes, Rabba and Rabbi Zera. Rabbi says, you warn him, that's a violation of borer, and Rabbi Zera says, that's a violation of merakeid. Now, if I didn't see the Gemara, and you threw me on the spot, and you put me on the spot, and you said to me, well, which malach is he violating? I would have said, as a no-brainer, that it's merakeid. In other words, you're putting something through a sifter in order to separate. Now, the Gemara earlier, you remember the Gemara back on Dafayin Gimel, right? And I may be wrong about the page, but I'm in the right area. You remember the Gemara earlier says that borer and merakeid and zoreh, they're all the same basic idea. Okay, but in other words, they're all different actions. So in other words, to what degree over here can we say that they're really different? But in the meantime, however, look, we know what merakeid is. Merakeid is that after I ground up all the flour, but there's still, we want to sift it. And how do we sift it? We put it through a sifter to allow the fine granules to get through and to hold back, the stuff that we don't want. So over here, again, if you asked me, not that I'm anybody, I'm nobody, but you understand, we're just thinking this through. If you asked me, I would have said, for sure it's merakeid. What else could it be? I mean, classically, this, in my mind, is exactly the same thing as sifting. So how can the Gemara here bring a machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera says it's merakeid, and Rabba says, no, it's not merakeid, it's borer. I mean, it seems to be clear. So I'm going to point out Rashi, where Rashi says that everybody agrees it's merakeid. Meaning, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says it. Everyone agrees it's merakeid. The only issue over here is, can we also call it borer? That's the way Rashi understands the machlokas over here between Rabba and Rav Zera. And to me, at least, it really makes perfect sense because it really is merakeid. And the only question over here is, what if the witness who was warning said, instead of the word merakeid, he said the word borer? Was he close enough? So, Rabbi Amar Mishum Borer, Rabbi Zera Amar Mishum Merakeid, Amar Rabbi Kavisi Didi Mistabra, Mardar Kishal Borer Notel Ochel Meniach Da Psolas, Avhachanami Notel Esa Ochel, Umeniach Esa Psolas. Well, it's kind of like borer, meaning in borer, what do I want to do? All right, I want to take the good stuff. Over here, that's what we're doing. We're taking the good stuff. I'm Rabbi Zeir Kervis. Did he miss Tabra? Madaka Shomarakid. Psalms Melamala Vaucha Melamata. Avachanami. Psalms Melamala Vaucha Melamata. And Rabbi Zeir says to defend his own position. What are you talking about? What happens in the world of Merakid? When I sift, so what happens is I'm basically allowing gravity to pull the good stuff through the sifter and to come down. And all the bad stuff stays on the merakeid. By the way, I made this point earlier, but when I say earlier, I mean like some 70 blot earlier in the Masechta. So the word merake, do you know what the word merake means? It means dancing, right? Because when you sift, you'll see the actual, you know, the kernels, the granules shaking and dancing on the top of the sift. That's the connection. So anyway, but what happens is that same thing over here. I'm pouring the wine through the strainer, so all the good stuff is going through, and the bad stuff is being retained by the strainer. So Rabbi Zera says, to me, it's a no-brainer. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, okay. That ends our straining discussion of this morning. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, we put a strainer, not everybody, but I put a strainer where my incinerator is, but it's straining out something I don't want anyway.
Yeah, I've these are halachic questions. Just so you know, I'm not the right person to ask that. You're right. You felt that even as the question was coming out. Like, he's not the right person to ask. But anyway, but it's fine. I'm sure somebody would argue, but it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's more bothered because it's a liquid, so you don't really have the racket actually.
Right, maybe, but I was thinking that, I was, Phil, so, it's so interesting you said that. I was thinking that as well. In other words, it's not a solid, it's a liquid, maybe
right.
That's why it's more.
You only have a solid, yeah, like that.
Very, it's a fair argument, and it happens to have been that I did have that thought somewhere in my mind. Okay, we're done with the straining portion of today's daf, and now we're back to the construction of Ohel Arai. Okay, and again now, it's going to get even worse. What's going to get worse? Meaning the Gemara is going to throw at us a whole bunch of items and objects, and I'll give some vague description of what they are, but I really, like, it'd be helpful if I knew what a lot of these things were. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Talis Kfula Lo Yaseh V'im Asa Patov Al Asa. Okay, fold the talis. And I want to make the talis like a canopy. So the Gemara says, "Don't do it." But if you do it, it's an issur d'rabbanan. Now I know. Let's dispense with the, you know, how do we make the talis on Simchas Torah, right? And we put it over the top, and it serves as a canopy. I don't have an answer. Meaning, it's obviously okay because we do it. I know that's working backwards.
Yeah, but we're holding it.
Okay.
Really
okay. Fine.
Temporary.
It's temporary. But as we're going to learn, also temporary. OL is also. It's a derabanan. Okay. Look, there's an obvious distinction.
It's not based on any. They're like not no poles that are going to hold it permanently. There are people holding it.
Okay. Okay. Again, I. It could be a great discussion. I'm avoiding it. Mm-hmm. So I'm throwing it out there just so we can avoid it. And now we move on. So putting a talus over the canopy, that's no good. In other words, that's an issur d'rabbanan. That's the construction of an Ohel Arai. Hayakor chala achuna mashiacha, mutar lentosa lechatchila. However, if it's already up on top, and all I'm doing now is just spreading it out, unfolding it while it's already on top, so that's fine because, as we discussed in the beginning of the daf today, Mosif al-Ohel Arai, adding to a temporary structure, is permitted on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, again, there are those who disagree, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, but we follow like the position of the Chachamim that adding to an Ohel Arai on Shabbos is fine. Ba'amine Rav Kana me Rav Kila Mahu, what about the canopy? So Amalei Af Mita Asura. So his answer is, you're asking me about the canopy. Making a bed on Shabbos is prohibited. And you're asking me about the canopy? Mita mahu. And then the question went the other way. Can I make a bed? Amalei Af Kila Muteris. And his answer, he really walked away from Shir that day confused. What do you mean? You're asking me about making a bed? I think making the canopy is permissible. And you're asking me about making a bed? Of course it's permissible. And kilo mita. And then on another occasion I asked him about a bed and a canopy. And amrle, kilo asura mita muteris. Making the canopy is prohibited, but making the bed is permitted. Okay, now, he walked away. Was he confused? Was he ever? In other words, the first response is it's all prohibited. The second response is it's all permitted. And the third response is, well, the one is permitted and the other one's prohibited. Okay, good. Good. And it was a productive day in the Beis Medrash. Like, I really feel like I got it. So, lo kasha. So the Gemara says there's no problem. Where all these answers were addressing different types of beds and canopies. Had the kamaraf mita asura kid karmanai. So when we said that even making the bed is going to be prohibited, we're talking about a karmanai. Okay, what is that? I have no earthly idea. Rashi says, Hainu Galanisa. So Rashi says, remember what we learned earlier in the Masechta? I mean, Daf Mem Zayin. Sheporko Machzira Vuhushe Makam. It comes from a particular place. Rashi offers another pshat, Lashon Acher, Karmanai, Mochre, Bigde, Pishon, Mochre, Aleihem. Anyway, the problem is it's segmented. I need to put it together on Shabbos. And the problem is, putting something together on Shabbos, I may tighten it, make bepatish. Okay, that's why the construction of such a bed is going to be prohibited on Shabbos. Hadikamaleaf kila muteres. Now, we said that kila is permissible kidurami bar yecheskel. That is like Rami bar yecheskel said, which is, I'm adding to an ol arai, being most of an ol arai is mutter. And kila asura umita muteres kididan. Now, our beds, there's no construction. It's just taking something which is vertical and laying it down horizontal. That's nothing. That's not an Issa D'Oraisa. That's not an Issa D'Rabban. It's Mutla Gamre. The canopy over the top, that's all a ride. That you're not allowed to make. I'm Rav Yosef Chazina Lahu Lekila Debe Rav Huna. Now, Rav Yosef says, I want to tell you what I saw. Now, it's not funny, but Rav Yosef is blind. It could be what he experienced, whatever the case is. But I went to the house of Rav Huna, and here's what I experienced. That Dimi Orta Nigidu, that on the night, it was standing up, vertical. Umit Safra Chavita Ramya. And then the next morning, I went to Rav Huna's house, and the bed now was horizontal. So, and, as we pointed out, that's fine. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Vila Mutal Intosa Umutal Porka. What about a vertical curtain? So vertical curtains are fine. Now, if you take a look at Rashi on the very bottom of the Amud, it's the last Rashi on the page. Rashi writes Mutal Intosa Shein Oal Elamisha Alstoi Kein Gag. You remember about 10 days ago in the Daf Yomi, Rashi said the exact same words, which is that the whole issue of constructing an Oal, even if it's temporary, is only on the roof, but it's not on the walls. Walls is not a prohibition. Ohel and the prohibition of Ohel is only on the Gog. Now, if we remember correctly, Tosos didn't agree with Rashi, and Tosos had a long had issue with Rashi. But Rashi is consistent over here to what he said back on Daf Kuf Chav Hamud Beis, in that the whole issue of Ohel is only on the roof, not on the walls. So, if the question Gemara is asking out about a vilon, a vertical curtain, right? Basically a mechitza. It's fine. Mutal intosa, mutal porka. V'am reshmo mishum Rabbi Chia, kilas chasanim, mutal intosa, mutal porka. Kilas chasanim, the canopy. The canopy of the chasan. It's a teepee. It's a pyramid shape. It is not, in other words, there is no flat top of the roof. It's like our roofs on our houses. In other words, they're both going down on an incline. So that would be mutal and tosa mutal porka. You're allowed to set up and you're allowed to put it down. Because again, again, we're going to be super consistent, at least according to Rashi, in that there's no horizontal roof. And when once you're constructing something and there's no horizontal roof, it's no problem of a CSO hell. And so therefore, you're allowed to create the kilas chasanim. Now, Amar Rav Sheshes Breder of Idi Lomar Nela Sheim Begaga Tefach, Aval Yesh Begaga Tefach. Asura. So now, qualification number one. The first qualification is very easy. If there is a flat top, even if that flat top is a minimal flat top, even if it's only a tefach, but still, that's a flat top. That's a roof. And so therefore, you're violating the construction of an OL on Shabbos. So that's qualification number one. That one's easy.
You could put up a tent then on Shabbos?
So yeah, in other words, according to the simple Pshat or Gemara, you put up a tent on Shabbos, that's fine. Halacha lemaisa, you ask your local rabbi. But yeah, from the Gemara, it sounds fine. So v'chi ein begaga tefach nami lo amar nela. I'm sorry. Yesh begaga tefach asur. V'chi ein begaga tefach nami lo amaran. Ela she ein bepachus mishlosha samach legaga tefach. Aval yesh bepachus mishlosha samach legaga tefach asur. Okay, this next qualification is a little tricky, but basically it means as follows. Look. We know in halacha, we have this rule of anything within three tefachim is collapsible. Okay? It's called lavud. And so that means the following, that even if it's not a flat top, okay? So in other words, it's not a horizontal top, but basically, when I get to the very tip of the roof, it's so narrow that if I go down three tefachim, if I collapse three tefachim, there's going to be now a tefach of space. So basically, even though the shape of it is a cone shape, but because of this rule of Lavud, Lavud basically takes this and collapses it, so that now, if in that area I have a tefach of space, so then it's considered like a roof, and so therefore it would be prohibited to construct such a structure. And finally, and another qualification. And then the Gemara makes a third qualification, which is that when you get to the base of the tent, the base of the canopy, and there's a tefach of space on the base of the canopy. Now, granted, by the way, that there's no actual physical roof over there. If the base is created by the incline of the tent, and I'm looking now at the bottom leg of this triangle, but if that base has a tefach, so then it's going to be an ohel. Now, basically, what the Gemara is essentially saying is that an incline. How do we view an incline? Do we view it as a vertical? Or do we view it as a horizontal? So essentially what the Gemara is saying is that if there's a tefach of space, so then we view it as a horizontal, not as a vertical. And that's also now the construction of a tent, and that would be prohibited. It comes out now, based on all these qualifications, meaning when would it ever be okay to make a pyramid type tent? Because either you're going to get slammed on the top, or you're going to get slammed on the base. So velo amaran, and another qualification, velo amaran ela delo nachis mipur yatefach ava nachis mipur yatefach chaser. What if the canopy drapes over the side of the bed, where now the bed itself can be viewed as the roof to now the walls that I just created? So then also would be usher as well. So the Gemara says, it's kind of a funny Gemara. The Gemara says Kilas Chasanim is fine, but with qualification, four qualifications in total, and then when you get to through all those qualifications, it basically comes out, hey, you can't really make a Kilas Chasanim. So it's one of those strange Gemaras.
So what about a bed spread? Put a bed spread on the bed.
And it lays over and it drops down. I mean, elsewhere the Gemara says is that if I'm not really intent
to make
the thing below, and over here the Gemara doesn't say that. To be fair, I'm Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi High Sina Share. Okay, but what is this Sina? Rashi says it's a linen hat,
felt hat.
You're allowed to wear it on Shabbos.
It's stiff.
Well, that's good to know. Why would I have thought otherwise? Well, the Gemara says, I'm going to tell you why I thought otherwise. Wait. The Ha'itmar, yeah, we're talking about wearing that.
Wearing.
The Ha'itmar Sina Aser, and the reason why I would have thought it's Aser, because I have another statement that says that you're not allowed to wear a Sina on Shabbos. And at this point in time, the Gemara sounds like, you know what the issue is? The issue is Ohel.
The brim.
And the brim is now the formation of an Ohel. Okay? Which really is strange because, look, we've been talking about Ohel as structures. Here we're talking about it in terms of a person, creating an Ohel over a person. Alamiata Sharviv Beglima Tefach Hachenami de Mechayev. And the Gemara says, you're coming out to what could be is a very strange conclusion. Let's say a talis or a hood over your head. And you know some of those hoods really extend out wide. And you're telling me now that if those hoods extend out just 4 inches beyond your head, that then we're on the issue of ohel and building, and albeit temporarily, and albeit estimate the Rabbanan, but...
But it's not grounded. I mean,
yeah.
You're wearing it mobile.
So the Gemara says, this has nothing to do with Ohel. This is not an oil concern or consideration whatsoever. And Rashi writes it. Ella, time alav mishum oel hu. I'm reading Rashi. This has nothing to do with oel. Ella mishum shaloig bin or aruch mirosho v'asil asui arba amos hilkach mehadik mirosho shapir shar lo mehadik aser. I experienced this on windy days. Right. You're wearing the hat, and what happens? Good wind, and the hat flies right off. So the Gemara says that if you want to wear a hat on Shabbos, so it's got to be a tight-fitting hat. Because if it's not a tight-fitting hat, what's going to end up happening is hat's going to blow off. And right, and of course the problem is you're going to end up carrying the hat in a Rosh Hashanah. So okay, Shalach le Rami Bar Cheskel Rav Huna Imalan Izi Anach Mili Me'al Yasa Darman Lemishme Derav. So we want to go over some Torah that we learned in the name of Rav. Tar to b'Shabbos v'chadeh b'Torah. Now two have to do with Hilchah Shabbos and one has to do with Torah in general. Shalach le Had Tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, good b'kisna motel and tosa b'Shabbos. So if I have something which is connected with straps. Okay, again, I get a little bit lost in terms of what these are, but you're allowed to put it up on Shabbos. Amirav lo shanu ala bebeis bnei adam. Okay, now this item, right? We talked about it earlier this morning. Okay, that basically you're allowed to hang. You can only hang it with two people. Avaba adam echad also, but you can't hang it with one person. So, what's the difference between two people and one person? So Rashi explains beis bnei adam lo mimtach le shapir. Because when two people hang it up, they won't hang it up tight. But when one person hangs up, he's going to hang it up very tight.
Isn't it just like, you know, it comes to the idea of shinoi, that two are doing it, is like, and one can do it, it's like...
Yeah, but over here, we're not talking about a bona fide malacha. We're talking about something which is only also midrabanan, and it's just a question of, is this really the construction of an oval? Okay, and again, I'm not really sure what we're even talking about. And I'm in good company, by the way, because Rashi also admits that he's not 100% sure what this is.
Because it wasn't a real malacha, two of them would be better than one.
Right. That's Ben's point. That was exactly Ben's point.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the canopy, so you can't put it up even if you have 10 people. Because somebody's going to tug it tightly, and therefore you're going to be constructing a tent, a makeshift tent on Shabbos. Okay, so that's halacha number one. If I have an oven and one of the legs of the oven broke off, I'm still allowed to move the oven. A three-legged oven still has use and utility. It still has a shame kli, and so therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now, granted, by the way, an oven, of course, is a kli shem lach kol iser, but tzarech gufo, tzarech mekomo. In other words, it still has the status of a kli. Once it loses its shame kli altogether, so then it's muks. It's muks amamish. You can't move it. Shtayim also, yeah. If two legs fell off, so then it becomes such a dysfunctional oven that you can't move it on Shabbos. It's muks amamish. Rav amar filu chanami also gzer shem itaka. And Rav disagrees. Rav says that even if it's missing one leg, we cannot move it on Shabbos for the concern that, you know, you're going to fix it, right? You see one leg, right? We have this with the desks all the time. One of the legs, the desk come off, and you're so tempted to fix it. Torah da'amar Rav atida Torah shenishachach miyisrael. Now, we end off today's daf with a little bit of agadita, and this is the last statement. In other words, remember three statements made in total by Rav. Two have to do with Hilchah Shabbos. One had to do with Ohel. The other had to do with the issue of Muktzah. And now a third one has to do with Torah in general. Rav forecasts, terrible forecast, Rav forecasts that Torah will be forgotten by the Jewish people. Shenamar, the Pasuk, says, V'yiflah Hashem es makoscha. Now, we turn to the Tochacha mentioned in Parshas Kisavo, and the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to increase makos. Ha'flazi in yodeh ma'u kishu'om alachin in yosif la'afliyat ha'am hazeh. Hafle ufela, so havi amar haflazu Torah. So the maka that we're going to be suffering in future is going to be we're going to forget Torah. Tana Rabbanu Kishenichtu Zura Besen Lekaram Biyavna Amra Sida Torah Shitishachem Israel. When we're exiled to Yavna, remember after destruction of the Second Temple. So one of the things Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai asked was, I want a yeshiva. In other words, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. And so he asked Rav Yochanan Zakkai asked Vespasian if he can have the yeshiva in Yavne. So when we went to Yavne, so once again the prediction was Torah is going to be forgotten. Shenemar hine yamim ba'im nam Hashem Elokim v'yishtachti ra'av ba'aretz l'rav l'lechem l'otzam l'mayim ki mishmoa is divrei Hashem. There's going to be a famine, not a famine for water, not for food, not for water. But lishmos divrei Hashem. Uksiv v'no mayma yamim mitzafon v'ad mizrach yishotetu levakish es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzu. It will not be found. Davar Hashem zu alachar, davar Hashem zu haketz, davar Hashem zu nevuah. Dvar Hashem is referring to either halacha, the end of time, or it's referring to nevuah. My yishotu levakish es dvar Hashem. I'm rotida yishoshi to kikar shel truma. And the Gemara gives an example of what's going to be forgotten. A woman's going to go around with a loaf of truma, v'tafsa beveite kinesis abatim midrashas, and she's going to go around from shul to beis medrash, leida im tmehi v'im taharahi, to know whether it's tmeh or tahara, v'ein mevin im taharahi v'im tmeha hi. So I'm sorry.
V'ein mevin.
Thank you. And no one's going to be able to provide her the answer. So the Gemara says, what? So im tahori im tamei beajiksiv be mikol ochal asher yechal. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You know it's going to be tamei el aleda im rishon hu v'im shniyahu. So the Gemara says, here's what happened: the kikar truma went into a kli cheres. In the kli cheres was a sheretz, but there was no actual contact between the kikar truma and the sheretz. So the only question is, we know it's tamei. What level tumah are we talking about? Vein maven, hainami masisani kidana, sharashanim sabatanara pasha batochushniya, shatanatchila. So the Gemara says, well, don't we know the answer? Meaning the oven is a rishon, the bread inside the oven is a sheni. Isn't that clear? Mistapklu adamale ravada bravala ravalech se hai tanura kamandamala tuma vitavi pas rishona. Well, that I do understand, but statement made by Ravada Bahava in that, do we view as the oven as it's totally filled with sherets? So it's ki'ilu, it's as if the bread actually touched the sherets as well. Amalei lo amina lech zehai tanura kamanda malatuma detanya. Yachu yikol kelem etamim ba'avir kli cheres tamalomer kol asher besochi yitma mikol aucher asher yachal. The Gemara says, again, what do you mean? We know the answer to that. The answer to that is very clear. That only food becomes tamei, but another kli inside the kli cheres does not become tamei. Now, if the sherets were propagating, and it's as if the whole area inside is sherets, so then the kli should become tamei inside, by virtue of the fact that the kli does not become tamei. And only food becomes tamei, so that means that the degree of tumah inside is a rishon, so that the bread is only a sheni. So now, what's the question? So again, the Gemara is pointing out that questions will be asked, answers won't be given, but the Gemara says, truth of the matter is that we do know the answer. Okay, we're going to continue tomorrow. No, let's finish up. Yeah, we have two more lines. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Chas v'sham shetichachich Torah Yisrael. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai disagrees. Can't be. Can't be that we're going to forget Torah. Shenemer kilos yishkach mi pizaro. Right? We say it every day in the Valetzion. So elamani mekayim yishotu levakish es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzu. So what does that mean that we're going to be searching out the word of Hashem? Shelo yimtzu halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makom echad. Look, halacha brura, meaning that we know definitively what the halacha is without any debate whatsoever. Right? Come to the Daf Yomi. You'll hear every day. Machlokis upon machlokis upon machlokis. So in other words, I try to be clear, but you know, it's hard. It's hard to be clear when there's so much machlokis. Well, Mishnah Brura is Mishnayos that are clear. So it's hard to find these things located in one area. That's what the Pasuk is referring to when it says that we're going to be seeking out Dvar Hashem, we're not going to find it. But in terms of Torah in general, Torah will stay. So is the opinion of the Rashbi. Okay, started the 20th parak of Shabbos today. We started on two issues, the issue of making a CS Ohel and the issue of straining. On the issue of straining, the halacha is very clear. I can try to be clear that straining is usher on Shabbos, and it's issur d'oraisa to strain on Shabbos. Even wine would be an issur d'oraisa to strain on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer does matir, but as we pointed out, a hard position to maintain, to defend, okay? And it's not the halacha. And then the other issue which occupied most of our day today was the issue of a CSOL. The basic rule is making an ol arai is usher, being mosif to an ol arai is mutter. And if all I'm doing is just reconfiguring, just simply moving something from a vertical to horizontal, so that is mutter on Shabbos. Okay, those are the basic outline of today's daf. Obviously, a lot of details. Continue to refer Shlema 4, Ben Yamazem Akon, Ben Shonar Rivka, to Rafal Zaka Avram, Ben Akir Avigal, and Aliyah Nishmas, Gershon Ben Meir. Thank you.